As we get into this sermon this morning, I just want to say that I don't think that there is any more famous verse in the Bible than the verse that we're going to be looking at here in our passage this morning. All right, I think that this verse here actually has passed John 3:16 as the most famous verse in the Bible. And I think probably all of us could probably stand and quote John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Like, we know that verse, right? But I think that this verse that we're going to be looking at this morning in our section here has passed John 3:16. And it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, and it says this: judge not that you be not judged, right? And there's different ways of saying that, but I think everybody knows this verse, right? And whether they know it's in the Bible, they may have an idea that Jesus said it, they may not be sure that he said it, you know. But I think this is one of the most famous verses, the most well-known verse, at least in America. Judge not, lest you be judged, right? And we see, and what we see here in this passage, as we go verse by verse through these few verses we're going to be looking at this morning, is that Jesus is helping shape what it looks like in the church to help us heal through the truth. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants us to heal through the truth, all right? And I don't care where you are on the spectrum with this, okay? This section is going to mess with you. It is, right? This is what Jesus does, actually. He messes with us. And if you're here and you're saying, I want to follow Jesus, and then he's going to make my life all better and all these things, it's going to be so awesome because I follow Jesus, I'm not too sure that's the Jesus we're looking at today. In fact, I don't even know where that Jesus is in the Bible, okay? I don't know where it comes from. Because this Jesus that we're looking at today, he is disruptive. But every single one of his disruptions is to bring healing into our lives. That's what he wants to do. And so let's be challenged this morning, okay? Let's let Jesus challenge us. Let's also be encouraged this morning. Let's see what God does as we look at this passage here. And it's really powerful. And so we're going to just jump right into this because that's what Jesus does. And at the beginning of this, Jesus just gives us this reality that maybe we don't even know that we are living in, that we're operating in our lives. And what that reality is, and you see it up here, is we create a culture of temporal judgment. That's what we do. And this is a culture where we create with regard to judgment, okay? There is one that we have in our lives. We create it, and it goes like this, and you see it up here on verse 2. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. In other words, what Jesus is saying, there is a standard here that we create and we don't even actually know it most of the time that we're even doing it. But we operate out of this. It's really like the air that we breathe. It's like the environment that we find ourselves in. Francis Schaeffer, who was he was just a great theologian. And about 30 years ago, he said something like this. And he said, I imagine what it would look like to stand before God on Judgment Day. And he's thinking about what it would be to stand before God on that day. And he says, and what he did is he based his thought on this passage that we're looking at today. Matthew 7, 1 through 7. And 6, I guess it is. And remember, this is before we had music on our phones and headphones to listen to it and all those kind of things, wirelessly, whatever you want to do it. It was before all this. And he says, I imagine it's like a tape recorder that's placed into your neck. Do you remember tape recorders? Some of you, maybe some of you don't. But he said, when you were born, somehow it's mystically put into your neck somehow. And then every time that you make a judgment, he says, whether you say this is right and this is wrong, or you should do this, you shouldn't do that, every time that you make a judgment like that, it's recorded on that tape recorder that's in your neck. And then when you stand before God, all God does is just play that tape. And then He compares your life to how you judged everybody else. And I don't know if you could press this analogy in every way here, but I think this is a little bit about what Jesus is saying here in this passage. This is what he's talking about. Because there's this reality that we create, whether we feel it or whether we know it, we operate out of this standard of judgment that Jesus is talking about here. And some people say, well, that's exactly why I will not judge anyone. Because if I don't judge anyone, then I can't be judged that same way. If I don't set a standard for anybody else, then I don't have to come underneath that standard. Well, that's assuming that there's only human judges, that only human beings judge, that God's not involved in this in any way. That's also assuming that there's only one way for us to judge other people, and that is externally, verbally. But we can actually judge people without saying a single word. I think you know that to be true, right? Because internally we can judge people. Really, there isn't any way out of what Jesus is saying here, all right? It just isn't. With every judgment that you pronounced, Jesus says you will be judged. Everyone that I pronounce, I will be judged. With the measure that we use, it'll be measured to us, he says. This is a very sobering reality. Right? But Jesus, as a good teacher, he knows that he's got everybody thinking, oh no, what am I going to do now? He's like, this is where he's got everybody. And so when you have a crowd in those oh no moments, you got to add a little bit of humor to the situation. You got to bring some humor in. And this is what Jesus does. He says something funny. We see this in verse 3. He says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is this log in your own eye? And I don't know if Jesus did this, but my guess is he had something like this. And he's holding it up and he's saying, all right, let me help you. Let me get that little speck out of your eye, right? It's supposed to be funny, okay? This is what Jesus is trying to do. It's comedy. It's really a crazy thought, right? You've got this, and you're trying to get somebody else's something out of their eye. This is in your eye. And it doesn't work, right? You just can't do that when you got something giant in your own eye. And so what he's doing is he's trying to grab people's attention. He's trying to get them to say and go, wait a minute, this isn't working. That there's actually a right judgment, but you have to deal with your own things first. So he's saying, Jesus is saying, you really have to look at yourself. You have to look at yourself. This is the starting point of all this. And it's very difficult for us to do this. It's not very difficult for us to ignore our own junk, our own sins, and then magnify the junk and sins of everybody else. It's pretty easy for us to do that, right? It's very hard for us to say, this is me, this is what I'm doing. I'm sinning, I'm making a mess. The reality is, we're really good at seeing everybody else's sins. And you don't even have to be a pastor to really see everybody else's sins. I'm really good. I can see people's things, you know, whether it's in my family or it's in other things, you know. And you can just see them. Sometimes you can't, but sometimes it's just really obvious. It's easy to do. And so what Jesus is saying in all of this, through this analogy here of the big plank and the little speck, is we must be more concerned about our own sin than the sin of others. That's where it starts. And it's not that we shouldn't be concerned about the sin of others, okay? It's that we should be more concerned about our own sin than everybody else's. And so Jesus is saying, drop the log. Deal with your sin, right? Take care of that. Be focused on yourself with the Holy Spirit's help. This is what he's saying. And so remember, Jesus is talking about a new way to do life. That's what this whole Sermon on the Mount's all about, right? It's a new way. It's his kingdom. And so these Beatitudes are the start of that, right? Well, he started the sermon with that. And he's saying, in my kingdom, I want a group of people who are radically focused on dealing with their own sin. That's the first focus. And what we need to know about the four Gospels, right, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that there is a bunch of similar stories in each of those Gospels, but each of those stories are written to different people. And so Matthew, which we're in right now, is written to religious people. And the idea is that we just ignore in our culture this idea of judging yourself, looking at yourself, be more concerned about everybody else's junk and sin. This idea of the opposite of that, it was scandalous. It really was. It was scandalous to religious people to say, "No, don't look at everybody else's, but look to yourself." And religious people are really good at pointing out the sins of other people, especially those in the big bad world, and they're really bad at looking at themselves. And Jesus is saying, you have to look at yourself. You have to be concerned about your own sin. And some of us are like, yes, Jesus, go after those religious people. They're the ones that are wrong with this world, right? Go get those religious people. Well, if that's you, and you think that the religious people have messed up everything, look at verse 5. Jesus says, you hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And so here Jesus is telling us that we actually are to judge. Well, didn't he just say a little earlier that we're not to judge? Well, there are two different kinds of things here, okay? And the word judge means to distinguish between. It's to decide. It's to say this is right and this is wrong. And so Jesus is saying here that this is the reason, right, that you have to take out the log. You got to so that you can help somebody else. And so because really what we need in the Christian community and really in human community, there's a need for people to see clearly so that they can help other people deal with their own junk and sin. And this will blow many of our minds because we're living in a very relativistic culture. And what that means is that there is really no real truth. And truth is a personal and it's objective. So people say things like, well, this is my truth. It may not be your truth, but it's my truth. My truth is not your truth. Your truth is not my truth. That's kind of the culture. Well, it's really the culture we live in today. And you may say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's the culture, whether you believe it or not. That's what we have. And so it affects you whether you acknowledge it or not. It really gets to us here as we see this, because the thought that you and I would be responsible to correct the words, the behaviors, the attitudes and of others, that's just an insane thought. That's nuts. That's crazy. It violates everything that's called a sin in our culture today. And the only thing that is a sin in our culture today is to say something is a sin. That's the only thing, right? Really, pretty much. Everything else is just kind of good. All truth is personal and relative in our culture. And the motto that fuels this is that everything, you know, you have a right to do whatever you want as long as you're not hurting somebody else. That's our world. That's the environment that we live in. And so to think that I'm supposed to judge, that's so foreign, right? This idea that as long as I don't hurt anybody. And Jesus vehemently agrees with that. As long as I don't hurt anybody, I'm okay. No, he says that's wrong. He does this in a very challenging way. He says, you hypocrites. Not you who are judging in a self-righteous way. He says, you hypocrites that think that I can just remove the law and not do anything. You are the one that's a hypocrite. That's what Jesus is saying here. And so hypocrisy is not just self-righteous judgment where we judge other people and we don't look at our own sin. Hypocrisy is not seeing clearly enough to be able to move the speck out of somebody else's eye. Hypocrisy is not having enough courage to speak the truth, because truth heals. And when we say, I'm just not going to mess with that situation, what you're saying is that you're not offering healing to the people who need it. You're saying, I don't want to be corrected. Well, that means that you're saying that you don't want to be healed by the truth. And so Jesus is saying to us here, yes, we are to be concerned about our sins, but also the sins of others. But what he says here is we first have to deal with our own sin, and then we deal with the sin of others. And so we start with ourselves, us. But it doesn't mean that it terminates in us. It's an overflow of what we're dealing with as we, with our own sin, and then we help others with their sins in their lives. And as we deal with our sin, then we have a passion to, and a clarity to help other people. And so this is the vision that Jesus has for the church right here. This kind of thing. Where we deal with our own sin and we help each other deal with their sins. Right? This is what Jesus is saying is the church. This is how it's supposed to go. It's by removing the plank, we gain humanity and clarity, so we even gain courage so that we can go to another who's in sin, who's dealing with sin. Have you ever had this happen? Like you get something in your eye and you can't seem to get it out of your eye, and every time you blink, you close your eye, it just scratches the back of your eyelid, and when you're in that situation, you just don't want to blink because it hurts so bad. You're done for the day, right? You're not working at the computer, you're not driving anywhere, you just can't do those things because you've got something in your life. It incapacitates your life. Only until someone helps you get that thing out, right? This is the metaphor that Jesus is using with this. And so why do we judge? Jesus said to. Where do we judge? Where is this truth-telling speck removal happening? Well, remember, Jesus is introducing us to, in his sermon here, to two different kingdoms. And the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. Those are the two different kingdoms. And in the kingdom of the world, here is the set of rules that governs our world here with regard to speech. It's gossip. It's slander. You can't judge anyone no matter what. That's what's in this kingdom of the world. And Jesus says, I'm talking to you about another kingdom. And in the kingdom of God, well, in the kingdom of the world, there is, you know, self-righteousness. There's all these things that are happening. But he says in the kingdom of God, it's the opposite of that. So Jesus is saying that why is the church different? He's saying this is the reason it is. In the church, as we are drained of all of our self-righteousness, all of our superiority, there's a difference between Christianity and all of the other religions, and we see it in this right here. We are not saved because of we're just morality people, okay? That's not the reason we're saved. We're saved in spite of our morality. And so we are looking, we don't look down on other people anymore, right? We're not self-righteous because we've seen what Jesus has done for us. No, it's I'm down there with you, and Jesus rescued me from that, and he brought me up out of those things. That's the starting point in all of this, and it is. And when that's the starting point, that's the gospel of Jesus. We're all on the same footing. Jesus just saved us. And so we reapply the gospel, and it just drains us of all of our superiority, all of our unrighteous judgment. And then what happens is we're able to rightly, in the church, which is the expression of the kingdom of God, it's where the lofty values of the kingdom of God are concretely applied. It's so it's within the church then we are able to do this. It's in the local church. This is the where. I don't encourage you to go to work tomorrow and just stand up and say, you know what, I got a lot of problems with all of you, and I'm going to let you all have it right now. It's not going to go very well, right? It's just a thought. It might not go so well for you. But the family of God is where we get to learn this, and maybe not that way, but it, you know, we do this in the right way. We have to understand that the church is, you know, where healthy families are about. It's where truth-telling families are here. And this is why. So the why is because Jesus said so. Jesus called us to do this. He told us to do this. The where for this to happen is the local church. So now let's look at the who, the how, and the what, okay? Who are we to judge? How are we to judge them? And what in them are we to judge? And this is what Jesus is going to talk about, because the metaphor actually fills and tells us everything here. By this metaphor, Jesus is telling us how to judge. Just imagine that if you have someone who is close to you and they have something in their eye and they just can't seem to get it out, and whether it's because you just happen to be there or they like called you or texted you like, you got to come over here and you got to help me get this thing out of my eye, right? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do this? Well, I think you're going to want to be a little bit careful, right? You want to be careful in getting that thing out of somebody's eye. You don't want giant long fingernails in there trying to scrape that out, right? You don't want dirt underneath your fingernails or you're just going to make it worse. You don't want those poking motions trying to get that out, right? It's got to be very careful. And so how do we judge? We do it carefully, but we also do it thoroughly. You don't want to have to go in twice, right? And if you've ever been in one of these situations, it almost seems like it just takes forever to do it. Because they're blinking their eye, their eyeballs moving all around the place, and you know, you're trying to get this thing out, and you just can't just say, you know what, let's come back to this in a half an hour. Let's do this tomorrow. No, you got to do it right then, right? Or it's uncomfortable for everyone. And so you just have to get it done. You go in there and you get it out, and that's how you judge. You judge carefully and you judge thoroughly. You can be careful and not thorough, and you can be thorough and not careful. You can be thorough where you go in and you get that thing, but you're not sensitive and careful as you do it. And you can be careful, which means you are sensitive, but you don't really speak the truth. It has to be both. In Ephesians, it tells us to speak the truth in love. That is carefully and that is thoroughly. It's both, right? To speak the truth in love. And so what do we judge? Well, first let me tell you what we don't judge, okay? Because in John, Jesus says, do not judge by appearance, but make a righteous judgment. And so what is it we can't judge? Well, we can't judge people's motives, okay? Just can't. We say, they did that because, they said that because. Guess what? You don't know why they did that. You might be right, and you might have a track record for that, but you just don't know for sure. You can't know. And how many times has that happened to you in your life? Like somebody judged your motives, and they were completely wrong. It happens to everybody, and maybe you didn't know their motives. Maybe you just don't know. So you can't judge motives. And when we assume about people's motives, it can kill any kind of relationship that we have. Any kind of truth speaking into their life, any kind of correction that needs to happen. You don't judge motives. Now, what do we do judge? What do we judge? You judge actions and attitudes that contradict God's word. This is what we judge. Now, this presupposes something here, that you actually know God's word. And one of the reasons that we don't make righteous judgments and it doesn't happen in the church is because people don't know the Bible. And the reason that they don't know that the Bible is that they think that all they need as a Christian is to listen to a guy like me speak for about a half an hour and they're fine once a week, right? No, that's not enough. That's why we have Bible studies and small groups, and you have to know what God's word has to say. You have to read it for yourself. You have to know what God says is wrong. And so we are to judge sinful acts and attitudes. So let me just talk about a couple of these this morning. Sinful acts. There are things that a person, you see in a person's life and you know it's not right. One of these is sexual immorality. That's very clear throughout the Bible that that's wrong. And so immorality, it's really from the Greek word porneia. You can guess what word we get from that. It's bigger, though, than pornography, and this is a sexual sin. Anything outside of the marriage covenant, that's what he's talking about. And you can say, I can help you with that. Another one of these is outbursts of anger, where people are just flipping out and losing their temper. That's a rebukable sin, right? Outbursts of anger. Gossip. This is when you talk about the affairs and the affections of others behind their back. Slander. This is when you try to ruin somebody's reputation. Lying. It's when people are not representing reality with their words. Dishonest business practices. Drug use. Drunkenness. And you may say, well, I only do that on the weekends. Well, you can read the same thing in your Bible on the weekends, and it says don't be drunk. It doesn't say you can't. It just says don't be drunk, right? And so all of these things, when you see somebody, you know, close to you that you have a good relationship with, these are the things that you can say, that this is a sin. I see this in your life. Can we talk about this? And then we talk about sinful attitudes, and this one's a little harder to deal with, okay? Because sinful attitudes, they need to be judged. These are things like arrogance. And arrogance expresses itself through self-sufficiency. And it says, I made my own life and I did all these things. And people who continue in that are going to harm their life and destroy their relationships. And so you have to help them if that's where they're at. Another one of these is insecurity, which is basically expressed in self-pity. That says, my life is harder than yours. Insecurity is defining yourself by your failures and your struggles versus what God has said about you and what God is doing and how God is working in your life. There's also this attitude of fear that people have that is expressed through self-protection. That says, I'm not going to let anybody into my life. I'm going to just do everything myself. I'm not going to trust anyone. I can handle all of these things. And if you continue in that kind of sin, what's going to happen is you're going to be very lonely in your life. You won't grow as a person. If we are in that sin, then we need people to call us out on that. If no one ever does that, then how can you grow? How can you change? How can you get past that? And so in humility, we are called to judge the actions and the attitudes of those that of the things that contradicts God's word in the church. We're doing that in the church. That's the how and the what. Now who the who again. This is where the church messes this up. Go back to verse 5. See this up here. It says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, verse 6 is this crazy verse here, and we're going to get to that in a minute, okay? But first, let's deal with verse 5. Verse 5 says, your brother's eye, right? So he's saying we are to do this with people who are near us, specifically people in the church. That's the who. And if you've spent enough time with a person, and you are for that person, you care about that person, you love that person, these are the people that we are to do this with, okay? In other words, you are going in to remove that speck that's in their eye. But you understand and you have empathy for why that speck is there. And so they are actually letting you do this because they know that you are for them, that you love them. And there are times that they may not want to hear what you have to say, and you're going to have to help them get to that place where they're going to want to hear it, okay? And so you help them understand, hey, I am for you, I am with you. You communicate that you do understand what they're going through, and you help them get to that spot. And you say, wow, that sure sounds like a lot. Yeah, it is. It's called Christian community. You say, well, that sounds like a lot of pain that I'm going to put into my life. It is. Sounds like it could be really messy. Sure is. But this is the church, okay? This is the kingdom of God expressed concretely in the people of God. That this person's your brother or your sister, and you're able to go to them. So now what about this pig part here? Verse 6. Well, remember Matthew is written to the religious people, the religious Jews especially in the first century. Mark was written to Romans. Luke was written to Gentiles. And John was written to Greeks. And so this is Matthew's life, death, and resurrection of Jesus applied to first century Jewish people who were very, very religious people. And they had a derogatory term for people who were outside of the covenant community. That was the Gentiles. The Gentiles were everybody else who wasn't a Jew. And they called those people dogs and pigs. And so Jesus is taking their racial slur to make a point here. He's saying you don't do this with people who are outside of the covenant community. That's really what he's saying in this. Now there are times, principally, you have to confront and do these kind of things, okay? But it should be practiced first and foremost in the church. Let's get it right here. Before we cast stones at the big bad world, before we go after maybe elected officials and what they're saying, let's make sure we do some work here in the church. And it doesn't mean that we don't speak out against injustice, but it means that you are practicing killing your self-righteousness. You're practicing getting clarity and humility here in the church. And can you imagine what would happen if we did this? I mean, just can you think about it? It would actually be awesome. It really would. And the mistake that the church makes is that we are really awesome at judging everything else, the world, and judging other people, and we're so horrible at judging ourselves. And the world looks at us and they say the same exact thing that Jesus said. He says, "You hypocrites." And you say, "I'm so tired of people saying that, you know, calling hypocrite." Well, they're just agreeing with what Jesus had to say here. So why don't we judge? Why don't we do this? Well, one reason is we aren't broken enough to care about others' sins, others' brokenness. We don't see our own sin as being a huge problem to our integrity, to who we are as human, and so we don't see that as a problem, and when we don't have compassion and reality about our own sin, we're definitely not going to have that for other people's sins. And when you are really dialing in on your own sin, contrary to what our culture tells us, then you actually become really concerned about other people's. But it's in a good way. It's in a healing way. It's not in a way that I'm going to tear you down, look how horrible you are. It's in a way that I can encourage you to get where you need to be. I want to help you because I love you and I'm for you. But when you are not in tune with your own stuff, we're not taking the log out of our own eye. We don't care about others. Another reason we aren't doing this is we aren't confident in our own responsibility. And this is the way the church has been done for years. Everybody comes to church and they're just nice. Church has a niceness problem. And I'm all for smiles and hugs, don't get me wrong. I think that's great and we should care for each other. This is what we're talking about in all of this. But we have some niceness issues in the church because we don't ever say the truth. We don't speak the truth. We've got to do that as well, in love. Another reason is we want others' approvals too much. We really want other people to just like us. So we don't say the hard things to anybody else because we don't want them to not like us anymore. And if we say something, it might cause a problem. If we're too confrontational, those people might reject me. That's a real thing. That could happen, right? But what we end up doing is ended up being a bunch of phony relationships because we never go there in those relationships. And so we've got a courage to risk the relationship. I mean, somebody's done that for you in your life, haven't they? I'm sure somebody's done that for you, whether it was a coach, a teacher, a parent, a friend, maybe even a pastor. They told you something that was going on in their lives that they saw, and if murder was legal, you would have got them, right? Because they told you that. But they feel that way inside, but it changed their life, right? It ultimately changed their life, and you can do that for somebody else because somebody's done that for you. And another reason we don't do this is we don't want to be accountable. We just don't. Have you ever heard if you point a finger at somebody, how many are pointing back at you? And that's the belief. There's this belief that this is. And if I don't come down on anybody else, then nobody's going to do that for me. But that assumes then that our only judges are people who are horizontal and the people around us, that there isn't a judge sitting on the throne in heaven. Right? But there is a God on the throne who's a judge in heaven. And God is going, he's made a judgment. God made a judgment on the human race that every one of us are sinners, that we're defiant, that we're rebellious, that we're full of self-sufficiency and self-protection. And God says, "My wrath and my anger are against you because of this." But what the judge did was he sent his son. He said, "Son, you are going to acquit these people. I'm going to put all of my anger and all of my wrath and all of their sins on you, son." And if you are a follower of Jesus, let me tell you, judgment day has already happened for you. It happened with Jesus. And so why is this judging thing so intrinsic to our fabric as humans? Why do we always need to evaluate things and people? Why are we so offended when that does happen to us? It's because there's this eternal reality that we will be judged. But because Jesus was judged in our place as a follower of Jesus, we now have the smile of God on us. Right? We now have the peace of God, and it's all because we stop trying to save ourselves, follow any other thing. We say, Jesus, I'm trusting you to be my Savior. I'm going to let you be my God. I'm going to let you remove all my sins because I cannot do that myself. And so when we do that, we have the smile of God. We have the peace of God in our lives. We have the approval of God. We don't need it from others anymore. And so we can actually speak the truth and love to those around us. Not be jerks, but we have God's peace so we can go into those hard situations. We can speak the truth. We can have confidence that God has called us wherever we are to do that. And it works in the church because we all have shared values. It doesn't always work in the world. But that doesn't mean you aren't supposed to be speaking the truth and evaluating and pointing out specs, okay? This is the church. This is what Jesus is talking about. This is the what. And by God's grace, this is what he's trying to build here in our church, right? And so I'm telling you, what Chico really needs is people who are obeying this passage. People who are drained of all of their self-righteousness, that I'm better than everybody else because I do these things. And, you know, where we got rid of that self-righteousness. We are humble. We are willing to engage in conversations, and that we're willing to look at our own lives and our own sins. That we'd have the courage to help other people in their situations. This is what God is calling to us, and this is our opportunity this morning. Would you bow your heads? And I know we looked at another tough, challenging passage this morning. Sometimes it's even uncomfortable to think about these things and to look into the reality of what Jesus is saying here. But Jesus is calling us to deal with our sin and to encourage and help each other around us, the ones that we are close to deal with their sin. And like I said, this could be a messy thing. This can be a hard thing. This can be something that we really don't want to do, and we gave all these reasons why we don't do this. This is what Jesus is calling us to be as the church. And so this morning, as we're closing this service, would you allow the Holy Spirit of God just to work in your life? And where God reveals sin, and we're looking at our own lives with the Holy Spirit's help, but when sin is revealed, will we just take that before God and get rid of it, turn from it? And if you've never given your life to God, you can do that today by saying, God, I choose you to be my Savior. I want to follow you with my life. I want you to change me and forgive me of my sins. I want to know you. Once we've looked at our own lives, and as we're looking constantly at our own lives through the power of the Spirit in our lives, then we can be able to have compassion to look at others and to help others. Would we just ask God to do that this morning as we sing?